Christmas is a time where there is a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of glee. Christmas is a season where you see people all over the world, actually, that are celebrating Christmas, and they celebrate Christmas with decorations. The grocery, the stores, the department stores, they celebrate it in a different fashion, but yet they have decorations, Christmas trees up for sale, all the little, you know, extras that you can buy along the way. And they also in the department stores, they have a whole lot of glimmer and glamour when you walk in. And of course, for them, it's commercialism, nothing more, nothing less. But when we go out, we see the people that they have their front yard decorated. We see the decorative trees and what have you. We see all the celebration, all the joy, all the peace. It's a time where people come together. People celebrate. There's family gatherings and so on and so forth. All the television shows that are being prepared that are maybe your favorites that you see along the way. That's one side of Christmas. Unfortunately, there's another side of Christmas. The other side of Christmas, with all the glitter, all the glamour, all the excitement, all the peace, all the joy, and all the celebration that's going on all around, the other side of Christmas is, it is the one time of year where there are the most suicides that are committed. I don't know if you know that or not. It's because people that are downcast, people that are hurting, people that are sick, people that have terminal illness, people that have problems beyond measure that are buried upon them. All of a sudden, when they begin to see other people so glittered and glamored and so excited and all the hoopla that's going on out there, it makes that an exaggeration of all the depression that they have. And they become so depressed because they can't get to where everybody else is at. It only buries them a little further, whereas now they can't deal with it anymore, and it only accelerates the depression that much more where they take their lives. So we have to understand that about Christmas. Christmas has a twofold spectrum to it. There's a lot of people that enjoy it and a lot of people that are going to take their lives during the time of the Christmas holiday. We need to pray for those people. Amen. But what I want to talk to you about this morning, I want to talk to you about something that the Lord laid on my heart, and I wasn't sure how to give it. I wasn't sure how to just be sweet about it, just to throw it out there. But as I put it all together, then God gave me something so powerful and so impacting that I'm going to share with you toward the end, that it's going to change your life and it's going to set you on fire for what's about to come. But what I want to share with you, the title of the sermon that I have is, what if Christmas didn't exist? What if Christmas didn't exist? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine if there was no such thing as Christmas? Now, before I get into the deficit of that statement, I want to bring out the story of Christmas. So if you go to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, you might want to help him with that, Sherry. 1 through 14, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Verse 5 says, "to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" This is the story of Christmas, a story that we are all familiar with, a story you probably heard ever since you were a youngster. It's the truism of Christ coming born in a manger. And it's the story that has been notified to us by the Apostle Luke. But I want you to understand, this story of Christmas is being absolutely attacked today all over America and all over the world. There are people that are trying to destroy the very attitude and the reality of Christmas. For example, a lot of people are saying, goodwill toward men, peace on earth, where's it at? Where's it at with all these radical maniacs that are killing people by the droves? People that are dying because they're being stabbed to death in New York City, where you have police officer after police officer being executed, shot while they're sitting in their car. Where is this goodwill and peace on earth while there are people that are literally stealing babies out from under their mother's arms for a sexual exploit to sell them on the free market? Where is it where there are babies being born and they're absolutely being destroyed out of their mother's womb? And nowadays, because of the laws changed, they are being laid on a table for people to discuss, you want that baby or not, and then they can kill the baby. Where is the goodwill toward men and the peace on earth? Many people will ask, I don't believe it anymore. And that's really what's going on. A hysteria has hit the world, and they are denying the fact that Christ ever came. If there is a Christ, why is there all this havoc that is going on? Let me give you a little bit of an understanding of what's going on all over the world. 2 years ago, in Washington, D.C., as they put up a nativity scene, everybody was so excited by the nativity scene, only for the next day, there was a large sign right next to it pronouncing atheism. And they couldn't take the sign down because of freedom of speech. Over in Panama, Florida, there was a woman who's a Christian. She was hired for in a department store for being able to earn a little bit of extra money for the holidays. And she was notified by the headquarters, like everybody else, by the boss, you are not allowed to say Merry Christmas. You can only greet people with Happy Holidays. Well, that was not setting right in her heart because of who she is, anchored to Christ. So here, as somebody walked in the door, she turned around and said, Merry Christmas, and they fired her on the spot. Over in the Southwest, there's a school. They put up their decorations a year ago, and they were putting all the decorations in the trees and making everything right and ripe for the Christmas holiday. And here they were about to be sued by a Muslim who came by because they weren't putting up anything to attribute to Ramadan. And they had to actually put up something to give glory to Ramadan so that they wouldn't be sued. In St. Louis, there's an airport last year. They also put up their holiday expression. And they too were about to be sued after all the glitter and glamour and everything was put throughout the airport to celebrate Christmas. They too were going to be sued because a Jewish man, an elderly Jewish man, was going to sue them because they did not put up a menorah to celebrate Hanukkah. And they had to keep the menorah up, which was no big deal, but nonetheless, they had to put it up for the benefit of self-expression and freedom of speech. In 1967, there was another creative holiday that was created by a man by the name of Ron Everett, who later changed his name to Dr. Karenga. And the holiday that he put up, which was about 2 years ago, was Kwanzaa. It's a holiday for the benefit of Africans that they can practice their own tradition. That's the craziness that's going on. I go back to Washington, D.C., this past year, 2 years ago is when they put the sign up for atheism. But this past year, all the atheists came together. 2018, all the atheists came together, and they wanted to start their own celebration to denounce Christmas. So they came up with a new celebrated word, which is. Now, let me put it here because I forgot what it was. It is, Festivus. Festivus. It is the word. It's not even a word. And it's not even a holiday. They adopted it from a Seinfeld segment that doesn't even make any sense. It was just for a joke. But here they have this holiday that they've now tabloided. It's called Festivus, and they're going to stick with it because they have so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people celebrating the holiday called Festivus so as to get people's eyes off of Christmas. Atheists all over the world are absolutely trying to drown out what Christmas is all about. They don't believe in Christ. Therefore, there should be no belief in the celebration of Christmas. For he is the one that is the very reason for the celebration of the festivity of Christmas. Amen? And you know what breaks my heart the most is this country was founded on the Word of God. Our forefathers left England because of the oppression that went on there. They had to do things a certain way under the order of the English democracy as they had it. But they came over here so as to have the freedom of speech. They came over here so that they could have freedom of expression of religion. And now they came over here and they founded this country on the pillar of the Word of God. And here we have these people that are fools who do not believe in God, who do not want to celebrate the reality that Christ came as a babe in a manger, and they want to denounce it. They want to put it out. Well, I want you to know something. You can celebrate whatever you want to celebrate. You can celebrate whatever holiday, whether it's real or made-up holiday you want to celebrate. But my goodness, don't mess with Christmas. Don't mess with Christmas. It is the reality that Christ came. He came as a babe in a manger for one reason. The moment he learned to walk, he took his first step toward the grave. He came to die for you and for me. Amen? But I want to look at what would the world be, what would our lives be if Christmas did not exist? Think about that. If Christmas didn't exist, there would be no holiday of any gathering of your family, friends, and associates, cohorts coming together. There would not be any kind of festivity where you would feel joy and peace and all of the presence of the Almighty God with you. You would not have a time where you're opening up gifts. You would not have a time where you are enjoying the Christmas tree, the decorations, the caroling. You would not have that special Christmas program, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, or maybe it was Charlie Brown Christmas, or what about Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life. Those things would not even exist, none of which would exist. Your children will not be out of school for a week or so, which I know for some of you that would be wonderful. But your children will not be out of school for a week or so because there would not be any reason for it. As a matter of fact, December 25th would not be anything more than an ongoing date in amongst all the other dates that is just filled with a dreary, cold, blistery time where the weather keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. If there was not Christmas, if Christmas did not exist, the world that we live in today would be a whole lot different in ways that we cannot even imagine. For instance, in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, when Jesus came, he taught his followers, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself." And to live this out, his early followers of that generation of time, they created the idea of organized charity. The disciples that were following Christ at that time, they put their own money, blended it together in a kitty, and they took care of the widows, the widowers, the lame, the broken, the hurting, the hungry. And they even had a sort of a hospital setting, and they paid for the caretakers to take care of people that were hurting. That's how it was in the early days when Christ was on the earth, because they heard the word of God that came from the lips of Jesus Christ and they put it into practice. Today, in recent times, we have Christian followers who have virtually established every charitable organization on earth that you can think of. The Red Cross, the Salvation Army, World Relief, World Vision, Samaritan's Purse, who we give to, Food for the Hungry, and Compassion International. In other words, all these different organizations, they have been created from the heartbeat of man who has heard the words that Christ has given that we are to attend one to another. That's why the Word of God says, Jesus said, we are to uplift one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. If there was not a Christmas, there would not have been a Christ. And if there was not a Christ, then it would have been the hell with you. I'm taking care of me and me alone. There would not have been a compassion birthed in our heart or any understanding to take care of those that are less, those that are poor, those that are hurting. That's what it would have been like if there was not any Christmas. If there was not a Christmas, even our educational system would have been different. Because I want you to know that there were institutions, there were universities that were created, 121 of them. They were created and founded on the Word of God, some of which are Oxford, Cambridge, Yale, Harvard. These particular institutions were created by men, and it was founded on the principle of taking individuals and giving them the best education that they could have, whereas they would have the prime opportunity to get into quality jobs. There were doctors, lawyers, there were physicians, there were nurses, there were people of all sorts, there were journalists. They all came out of these wonderful institutions, but also these institutions, they propagated the gospel of Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, today only a handful of them have stuck to the guns of giving the good news of Christ. Nowadays, they have denounced Christ, and they're starting to teach evolution. I want you to know, if there was not a Christmas, there wouldn't be a lot of good things in this world. If there was not a Christmas, your life would not have much good whatsoever in it. You would have no hope. You would definitely not have any peace. You would definitely not have any joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord would not be here for us. Amen? The joy of the Lord would not even be accented in our lives. But there is Christmas. Thank God for it. Amen? How many of you realize if there was not a Christmas, you wouldn't have those sweet memories that you have about previous Christmases? How many of you have that one special memory of something, if you can go back in the journals of your mind, something that you really hold on to? Maybe it was a time where it was the last Christmas you were going to spend with mom and dad before they passed away. Maybe it was a Christmas you were going to have where all the siblings weren't arguing, fighting, and gossiping about each other, but they came together and there was such a sweetness. They all came together in unity, and it was a time you can remember. Maybe it was a time where you were a little child and you can remember that one gift that you wanted so bad and it came to you. Maybe those are the sweet memories you have. Well, I want you to understand those memories would be null and void. They wouldn't be there if there was not Christmas. If there was not Christmas. And let me say this, something far worse would happen if there wasn't Christmas, because you would find that Christ would not have come. I can't even imagine that we would live in a world where we have no salvation. We would live in a world where we have no hope. We would live in a world where there's no possibility for us to ever get to heaven and not even know anything about it, because Christ differentiated and let us know about heaven and hell. And if you didn't have Christmas, we wouldn't have even a reason to be here. We wouldn't know one another. Amen? But I want you to know that Jesus Christ did come. He did come. He came as a fragile, vulnerable human being. Jesus Christ, the one that all things were created by him and for him. He came as a man. He laid down his deity. He came on the earth in the form of humanity. And he came knowing that he was going to be spit on, ridiculed, broken, beaten. Why would he come when he knew that he was going to come and he was going to be savaged upon? Why would he come when he knew that he was going to have such pain and such anguish? What would motivate him to come when he knew that he was going to go to the cross? And when he went to the cross, he would be nailed to that cross with pins and nails in his hands and his feet. And knowing that he was going to die, what would motivate him, knowing that he was going to die for a people that the ones that he died for would reject him and they would want nothing to do with him? What motivated him to come? Because God knows the end from the beginning. He knew everything that was going to happen before he ever came to earth. What would motivate him? I'll tell you what motivated him. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave of his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish. The word perish means to die eternally, everlasting destruction. but instead they would have everlasting life. I want you to know that that action by God to have given of himself, allowing his son to come down, allowing his son, knowing that his son was going to be beaten and ridiculed and savagely struck, where they were going to pull out some of his hair, pull out some of his beard, blacken his eyes, hit him and scourge him where half of his intestines were sticking out. God knew that. And God still gave his son. Why? Because it is the greatest act of love that could ever be given for you and for me. God gave his son as an act of love some 2,000 years ago. And that love that he gave is a love that is incomprehensible to us. We can't understand the love of God. But I want you to know that God's love is not equated to the kind of love that we know. God's love is called an agape love. It is a love that constantly beams down from heaven, even when you react negative to God, even when you spit in his face, even when you reject him, even when you say and you curse his name and you say he doesn't exist, I'm going to do my own thing. The love of God is so dynamic that he keeps on giving and keeps on giving and keeps on giving that kind of love that we cannot even comprehend. The kind of love that we have as human beings, in the Greek, it's called a phileo love. Phileo love. It's a love on a level that it's almost very close to hate. That's why so many people, they fall in love. I am so in love with her. I'm so in love with him. And they get married. They get married. And then before you know it, after a month or two or a year or two or such, here comes that fine line of hate. Then all of a sudden they trash him. I hate that guy. I hate that woman. She's no good. He's no good. Because that's the kind of love we have. It's a love that is on an earthly level. But God's love is of a highest level. He doesn't hate you. He will never hate you. He cries for you. He intercedes for you. He's constantly praying for you. He is your intercessor, if you will. Amen? That's the kind of love that God has for you and for me. Matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 14. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Verse 17, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes human knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." God gave his son. God loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. And he is the gift from heaven to earth. He is a gift that keeps on giving. He gives you peace. He gives you joy. He gives you happiness. He gives you health. He gives you solidity of mind, heart, and soul. He constantly is giving you restoration. He is giving you every good thing from above that you will ever need. He is your ever-present help in time of need. This is the gift that God has given to us. It is not where you unwrap it and say, okay, it was a nice gift. It's constantly, constantly being demonstrated more and more and more and more in your life. Whatever you have need of, the gift of Christ, the love gift from God the Father, is constantly being opened, and you get to see a greater venue, a greater insight of who Christ is over every episode. Whenever the enemy comes and he tries to bring bleakness in your life, God begins to show a different element of Christ in your life to overcome what the enemy is trying to do with you. Amen? Because God always wins. This gift constantly is giving. And we need to just continue to keep him open before our eyes. How many of you have ever had a child where as you give that child, I know the one thing about giving children gifts, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Anybody agree with that? I don't really care about who gives me gifts. I've always wanted to see when I gave my children gifts, to watch their eyes, really watch what they're going to do. Okay, because I mean that just put a glow in my heart. My dad was not good at that. My dad couldn't wait till Christmas. My dad would always pull a stunt. My mother didn't know about it at the time. He'd say, "Come on, let's go upstairs." And then he'd say, "Hey, there's something under the bed. I want you to go and try to get it. I can't reach it." And there would be a sled. I said, "Dad, there's a sled." "Shh, don't tell your mom." So Christmas was never that much of an excitement for me. I already knew where all my presents were because my dad couldn't hold back. He wanted to see the joy in my heart and the excitement in my face. And that's what it's like when we give our children gifts. But have you ever had children where you gave them gifts and they were, you know, they rip them apart and they're really excited. They can't wait to see what's in the package. And then they go to the next package and they go to the next package, the next gift. But have you ever had a child open up all the gifts and here there's still a gift under the tree all by itself with their name on it and it's not been opened and they just give up and they don't want to go and they don't want to open anymore. And they know it's there. Did you ever have a child not go open those gifts? I don't think so. Well, I want you to understand God the Father has given us a gift. And for many people, it's a gift that has not yet been opened. It's a gift of fellowship with Jesus Christ because it is a gift of eternal salvation. Amen. Luke chapter 15, verse 7, it tells us, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents." Repent means turn it around. Walk away from your sin. Look at the gift from heaven. Go and open up this beautiful package. And when you open it up, then you are going to receive everlasting life. One sinner who repents, then over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Amen? In other words, Jesus came that none shall be lost. And we go on to Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." If you are a born-again believer, I don't care how many hurts, harms, problems you've had on this earth, everything is going to be forgotten by you. Jesus Christ is going to wipe the tears from your eyes when you get to heaven. The Bible says there's not going to be any more tears in heaven. But I believe that there's going to be tears for a period of time. They may not really be your tears. They're going to be the tears of Christ. Because every person, every human being has been created by Christ and for Christ for the blessing of worshiping Him and living eternally with Him. And when He looks on that special day, when He beams up His church up into heaven, He's going to know those that He created who are not there with Him because they died and went to hell. And from that moment, Jesus Christ is going to be sobbing like a baby. Because there's many people that are not going to be with Him. But one day there, He will wipe His eyes, wipe the tears from your eyes if you are with Him, and life will go on eternally. Amen? But Christ wants to make sure that every one of us open up this beautiful gift of salvation. He gave Himself on the cross. The wages of sin is death. He paid the due wage of that sin. My sin, your sin, our sins, past sins, previous sins, future sins. He paid for all the sins that we may have life and have life eternal. And instead of having to be put to death, you and I have been graced with the privilege of receiving a beautiful wardrobe of righteousness that we don't deserve. So now when God the Father sees us, even though we are sinners saved by grace, He doesn't see us as raggedy sinners. He sees us as pure righteousness because He sees the bloodshed of Christ upon us. He sees the righteous robe that Jesus Christ had upon you and me. Therefore, when God sees us, we are now able to be received into heaven. So what would Christmas be like if there was no, what would your life be like if there was no Christmas? Well, we know that there is a Christmas, and we are going to be celebrating it very soon in the next week and a half or so. It's Christmas 2019. We are still privileged to celebrate Christmas. But I believe that Christmas and every other holiday and every other facet of being a Christian is going to start to get rougher and rougher and rougher as days go on. Not going to be an easy thing. We are one day going to come to a place where it's not going to be a sanctity for us to come into a place like this and we can be drawn together. Because I really believe The book of Revelation has already opened up where there have been principalities and demons from hell that have been released on the earth. That's why we are seeing such vehemency like we've never seen in this world before. That's why we are seeing all the violation where there are maniacs that are out. They have no concern for human life, and they're killing people. They're going into the schools, and they're shooting their fellow classmates. They have no concern for human life, and they also have no inhibition within themselves to never hurt another human being. It's because not of the person, it's the principalities that are now running amok and ruling and reigning over those who wish not to accept Christ. Jesus said, you are either with me or you are against me. There's no sitting on the fence. And if you are not serving Christ, then you are serving Satan. And now that the principalities and governing bodies of hell are now running amok on the earth, you are either going to be led by them or you're going to be led by Christ. But we are seeing there's so much violation. There is so much filth and immorality and debauchery and sin all over the world. And you know what? We as God's people are being told by society that we need to suck it up and we need to just shut our mouth and tolerate it. Tolerate the fact that people come into the house and they never get saved and they stay hooked on drugs and alcohol and they go through religious motions. Tolerate that, Pastor. You don't have no right to say anything in their life. Tolerate their filthy attitude. Tolerate them living together. Shut your mouth. Don't you say a word against it. Tolerate it. And that's what's going on today. We have to put up with it in the name of tolerance. In the name of tolerance. But I want you to know, I want to show you what God says about tolerance. I want you to see what God says when it comes to this world and those who walk in darkness. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. It is shameful even to speak of those things which the unsaved are doing in secret. We are not to even talk about it, Jesus said. Because he said, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. It is the light of Christ that is bringing exposure on the earth today. Now I want to take a break and I want to show you something. I really feel that this is so impacting. I want every one of you to pay attention because here's what's happening. About a week ago, I listened to a man who was giving for the last decade. He used the Hebrew language, as a code to see exactly what was going to happen for each and every year that was about to come. On New Year's Eve of each and every year, as the code, the numerical code. First of all, Hebrew language doesn't go the same way as us. It doesn't go, we don't read it from left to right. They don't read from left to right. They don't write from left to right. They write from right to left, and they read from right to left, and they write according to symbols, okay? The symbolic numerical symbols that they used for every year, for example, the year 2000, it was 2000. When they wrote that out, the symbolism of those two numbers written in Hebrew gave the actual detail of what that year was going to be like, okay? And when that man gave a prophetic insight of what that year was going to do, it all came to pass. They have it all ledgered. Now, I know that doesn't excite you. It didn't excite me either. I was just listening. Until he came to the year 2019. He said in the year 2019, now this was given on New Year's Eve, before 2019 ever came into focus. When he was done putting 20 and the numbers 19 and put them together according to the Hebrew writing, he said it was going to be the year of the exposing of the snakes. Are you seeing it? We have exposure going on. We have a lot of exposure going on, don't we? This year has been a colossal amount of exposure. It's been an exposure. I know that you're seeing it in the government. We're seeing people that have been ruthless and they have used their power for their own benefit. We see that it's only happening this year, but it's been going on for decades. This is how the FBI, this is how the Supreme Court, this is how the Department of Justice, this is how they all behave. Even some of the presidents, this is how they all behave under our radar. We didn't know this was going on. But what happened is, when it came to God's cup of tolerance, God said, I've had enough. And his light began to shine, and all this exposure began to take place, not only in our government, but also in society. That's why you have people like Harvey Weinstein. He got found out of his using women for the benefit of getting them in the movies. He was a sexual prowess, but now he had been found out. You have Epstein. He has been found out and he's gone because of all the things that he's done. There have been other people in Hollywood that were sexual whoremongers, and they got found out. They have been exposed. We have people in society, not on that kind of a plane, but we have people locally in society that have been exposed, because whatever you do in darkness shall be exposed by the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall be exposed by the light of Jesus Christ. Now, that's all good news, I think. But here's the better news. The same man already gave a detail of 2020. 20, written in Hebrew numerical coding, next to 20. It's written like this. When you look at it, it's two hands kind of cupped, almost like a parenthesis. And here's what he said. It's the palm. It's the palm. Because 2020 is going to be the year of the laying on of hands and an exuberation of power that's going to come. You are going to see blind eyes open, deaf ears open. The lame are going to walk before your very eyes. The deaf are going to hear. The mute are going to speak. And dead bodies are going to come back to life. He said, it is the time for the miraculous that God said he would do in the last hour. Wherever sin abound, the grace of God will abound that much greater. We are going to see an overflow demonstration of the power of the laying on of hands and of prayer. You know why that excites me? More so than anything? There's a scripture that says God shares his secrets with his prophets. I want you to know that long before I ever became a pastor, God used me in the gift of that of a prophet. I traveled everywhere and I knew things about people's lives because of words of knowledge, and then he would give me the prophetic insight of it. Well, one day here in the spring, I was studying from a sermon to give to you on a Monday. God dropped it into my heart ever so strongly that I called Sherry. And I said to Sherry, what did I tell you? That your son is going to one day come to the front. God is going to absolutely give him such a desire, because he's going to anoint him, that he's going to run to the front. He's going to start praying over people. And we've seen that happen, didn't we? Did you tell him about that at all? I didn't think so. Well, I want you to know that is what's going to happen in this church. So don't take it ever so lightly if you find that Tyler comes running up to pray with you, or if Christopher comes running up to pray with you, or if Mike comes up or Steve comes up, because I want you to know it's going to be a time that it's not just going to happen by somebody who's preaching the word. It's going to be by the most unlikely individual you would ever think. They're going to come, they're going to lay hands on you, and you are going to see the power of Almighty God begin to manifest. You are going to see the things you came into the house with, they are going to be absolutely destroyed by the power, the miracle working power of God. This is what God is saying that is about to come on the horizon beginning in 2020. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a shout of praise. And we go on in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore, God says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Christ will give you light. He's saying, awake, awake from the sleep, those who have been put to sleep by the things of the world, those who look like you're dead because you have fallen prey to all the devices of what Satan is doing out there. It's time to awake. It's time to get back on track, because Christ wants to give you light. You know why? Because he's the light of the world. The light of the world came on the earth, and the darkness did not receive him. Those who lived in darkness did not accept him. But I want you to know that didn't mean that his light was going to go out. His light beams all that much more. Where there is darkness, the Bible says, wherever there is darkness, the light of God will grow that much greater. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, amen? It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. So here, darkness is all around us, but don't fall prey to the darkness. Let the light of Christ open up your eyes and open up your heart, that you will receive the greatest gift that God has ever had. Even in denominations, there are denominations, there are mainstream denominations, there are fundamental denominations, and they are being led by people who are not saved. They're being led by people who have an ulterior lifestyle, and they're not saved, and they're not willing to get saved, but yet they're leading the people as pastors over the church. That's why in some denominations, you have these men that are abusing the kids because they're not saved. There are people that have been ministering in respect of that of a pastor for 20 years and now have just recently said, well, I really never believed in the gospel. I don't believe in Christ. But they took the position because it paid well. And the denominations accept them because of the fact that, hey, that's my pastor. And that's what's going on. But you know what? Jesus is letting us know. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and call it for what it is. Call darkness, darkness, and the light of Christ exactly that. It's the light of Christ. So Jesus said, all those who have been put to sleep arise from your death due to accepting such evil tolerance. And Christ will give you light. Amen? There's only one thing that Christ will not tolerate, and that is sin in the life of a believer. In the life of a believer, we are told but one thing that we are to stay true to. God said, I am holy, therefore you remain holy. And recognize something. It's not Santa Claus who said this. It's God who said this. And he said, basically, I know who's been bad or good. So you better be good for goodness sake. You better be good. You say, well, I can't be good. You're absolutely right. A lot of people say, but Pastor, I can't be good. I have all these evil thoughts in my heart. I have all these addictive vices in my spirit. I have an addictive nature. I can't be good. I try to be good, but I can't be good. Absolutely true. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But with me, all things are possible to those who believe. If you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, your vices, your problems, your issues. The Bible says over there in the book of John, he says, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to help you along the way to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Amen? That's what Christ wants to do. And here's the good news. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. We must have God's Spirit living within us so as to be able to walk according to the Spirit. And so on this Christmas season, let me show you the gift that God has for you. It's a gift that God wants to give to the sinner, and it's a gift from God for the believer. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Have you asked for the Holy Spirit to endue you with fire and with power? Are you walking in accordance to the Holy Spirit? Are you taking and saying to your flesh, I'm not listening to you anymore? And are you receiving only the words of what the Spirit is saying in your life? Are you being led by the Spirit? Well, Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will be put to death, you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. So, when we come and really think about it, this beautiful gift has been made available. For many people, it's unopened. And God wants you to open that gift this morning. He wants you to open this gift of salvation. Some of you might say, well, you know what? I've opened it before. I've opened it before. I've accepted Christ. Well, how did you accept Christ? Because when I look at some people's lives, I say, something's wrong. Something's wrong because the Bible says you would become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become anew. Jesus said, don't listen to what they say, because they believe in their hearts, and they speak out of the overflow of their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are not in continuity with me. Their hearts are not broken before me. They're only giving lip service to me. Jesus said, "You will know those that are mine by the fruit that they bear." So when I, as a pastor, look at people's lives and I see that you're really off target, I say, well, something's wrong here. Something's really wrong here. And here's what's wrong. A lot of pastors, a lot of preachers, a lot of evangelists, even the ones that I've had here, they will say, well, listen, I want everybody to stand and I want you to all bow your heads and close your eyes. In other words, let's play peekaboo. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to make them think that I know that they're sinners. We're all sinners. Let's not play peekaboo. Jesus said over there in Luke chapter 9, verse 26, if you are ashamed of me on earth before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father who is in heaven. So when you talk about a truism of salvation, it's a matter that you have to make a public declaration. You have to publicly declare before men and before God that you want to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. All the rest, you are not to be gawkers. You are to be prayer warriors. You pray for those who stand up. You pray for them, because if it weren't for Christ, that would be you as well. And we pray for them. So I'm going to ask you right now as we close, this greatest gift that you could ever receive on this beautiful day that's earmarking the beginning of Christmas, because Christmas does exist. The Christ of the Christmas had come, and he came to give you life and give you life more abundantly. If you have never truly made a declaration, a public declaration before men and women alike, that all could see that you are not ashamed of Christ, I want you to stand up for me right now. I want you to stand up and I want you to declare that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. It's important, because everybody else is going to ask you to, they're going to play peekaboo. Peekaboo doesn't make it. Peekaboo doesn't make it, because Jesus Christ, if he plays peekaboo up in heaven with your heavenly Father, you're in trouble. If you've not made a declaration, I want to pray with you. I just want to, right where you're at, I want you to stand and I want to pray with you. And I'm going to add to that statement, if you have walked away from the Lord and you're living in a lifestyle that's not honorable to God, I want you to stand. I want you to stand that you could be restored here today. This could be your day. If I was in a church other than my own church, I'd go right up to you and I'd call you out by name. And I'd tell you, this is what the Lord is saying. But I won't do that, because you'll throw me out of here. I've got to be kind and calm. But I want you to know that this is a time. This is a time to be receptive of the greatest gift that God has ever, ever given. So it's a chance for you to stand up to receive Christ. It's a chance for you to stand up and rededicate your life back to Christ. So whoever that be, please, so we can pray with you right now. Amen. Amen. It's like a dance in the hall. Everybody wants to be they don't want to be the first to stand up. Listen, a lot of you need to stand. A lot of you need to stand. Standing for salvation, standing for rededication. Amen. 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 Yes. Yes. What you're saying to everyone here, you are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are not ashamed of Christ. So those of you that are seated, I want you to just pray. I want you to just pray. Pray for them and say, thank you, Lord, that we have honesty in the house, that we are going to see that there is going to be all the chains of hell are about to be broken here. First and foremost, I want all of you together, seated or not, to say this simple prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me your Son, Jesus Christ. I am a sinner. I cannot get my way to heaven through my own attempts. Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I accept you, Jesus, into my heart right now. Take control of the will. Be my Lord and my Savior from this day forward. Amen. For all the rest, I want you to say, Father, I've slipped up. Say it with me. Father, I've slipped up. I want you to all say it. Father, I've slipped up. And I have got off track. And Father, I need to come back on the straight path, the narrow path with you. I ask that you forgive me. And I know that you are faithful. You are just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Come on, you can give the Lord a nice... And I told you that there is a gift that God has for those that are believers. It is the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I read it again. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I'm not going to pray for that this morning. The reason I'm not praying for that this morning, because we are going full head of steam down the stairs. We are hurtling into the understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. We're taking our time, and I'm just making sure that everybody has full understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Once you have received the full acknowledgement of what the gifts are all about, the gifts that will very, very possibly be infused in you, they won't be in an incubator, just they're dormant. They will one day come out, and you will come to recognize the various gifts or gifts that God wishes to put in your life so that you can walk according to His gift, His power, His influence. And so we're going to wait until you're completely done. And then, as I've shared with all those that are going through the class, after the class is over, then we are going to have a service on impartation. It's going to be a time where we are going to be able to lay hands, and it's a beautiful time because it's going to come during the year of the 2020 impact of power. We are going to lay hands on those who have received the gift, that have now faith because they have heard about the gifts, and then the Holy Spirit is just going to touch you, and you are going to be empowered, and you are going to be true witnesses for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, go into Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. When He comes upon you, you shall be empowered, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. Wherever you go, you will be a witness for Christ. But it can't be so until you are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that will come ever so soon for each and every one of you. Amen. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this time, this day. We thank you for your service. We thank you for your word. Father, we do thank you that truly you did come to the earth. Truly you are the Christ. That is what the Christmas is all about. It is the massing together of your people that you have become the head shepherd over all of your children. Father, we thank you that you came and you died in our place, that we would have life and have life everlasting. So, Father, on this beautiful season of excitement, I ask that, Lord God, you not only keep the excitement brewing in the hearts of people that have an understanding of you, they don't have a commercialism understanding of you, but the ones that are yours, that they truly understand who you are. I also pray, Lord God, for those that are in a state of demise, those that are hurting, those that are broken, those that are so depressed, Father, I would ask that your Holy Spirit come and greet them right where they're at. Let them sense your presence in the most genuine way, that, Father God, they will not hurt themselves. They will recognize that they have been created by you, Father, for a good purpose that you have for their lives. Father, I ask that you watch over all the fold of your children. We give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.